by the help of the Lord. You know how that in the beginning of the chapter, we didn't read the whole chapter, but in the beginning of the chapter it tells us that we find out about these sons and daughters and how that they all were killed by the great wind that fell upon the house, and the house no doubt fell in and they lost their lives. But earlier in the chapter we find out that one thing that Job did for his children continuously was that he made sacrifice for them. He made sacrifice for his children. And he tried to lead them in the Lord, no doubt. But then we find that Satan goes to God, and he says he's going to and fro. He's going about, and such is also the Scripture tells us in the New Testament, that he's seeking whom he may devour, like a lion going about to and fro. But God says to him, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And of course, the devil tells him, "Well, no. There's a hedge about Job and his family and his house and everything that he has." And of course, you know the story how the Bible tells us that that the Lord would allow Satan to put his hand upon the things of Job at this time. And of course, later on, he even argues again or talks again with God, and also touches him physically, but again, he doesn't. Turn his back on God. In fact, he says he retained his integrity. And his wife, of course, even turned his back on him, saying, "You ought to just curse God and die. You ought to just give up, Job," is what she's saying. But I want you to look at really the outlook that Job has. And I'm going to look at three different places here in the book of Job. In fact, I'll read several scriptures in the book of Job as we go along. The Lord permit us and help us to do this. I want you to see that Job, and I know you know this, but Job had the right outlook. Job had the right outlook. If we had a title for the message, it'd be "The Right Outlook" this morning. Abraham Lincoln made this quote. I like using some quotes a lot of times. But he said, "Let no feeling of discouragement prey upon you, and in the end, you are sure to succeed." No doubt. The discouragement was there, the despair was there, the questioning was there, but still, through it all, I believe Job had the right outlook. He had the right outlook on things. And no doubt, many times we fall in the trap of the world, and we fall in the trap of the pessimism of the world and those things, and we just fail to find the direction that God has in His Word. But thank God for His Word. And amen. Thank God for the opportunity and to get into God's Word and see the real direction that God would have us to have in our heart and in our lives and in our families and in our church. There is an outlook that's in line with the Word of God. And I believe Job got a hold of that. And I believe Job found that in his life. The Bible tells us in verse 21 that after all these things befell him, I mean, can you imagine four different people coming, and each one of them saying, "I'm the only one left to tell you this story." Four messengers came. The first came and said the oxen were plowing and that the Sabians fell upon. They took them and they slain all the servants. They took all your oxen. They took all your asses. And they also killed all your servants. But I alone am left to come tell you about this, Job. And then while he was yet speaking, another person walked up. The next messenger walked up and told him that all of your sheep have been burned and the servants have been killed and the fire of God fell and all this happened and I'm the only one left to come and tell you about this, Job. And while he was yet speaking, a third man walked up and he said, "Well, the Chaldeans came and they divided up into three bands. They fell upon the camels and they carried them away and they killed all the servants that were there except for me. Now I've come to tell you about this, Job." And last of all, what broke his heart the most was the fourth messenger came up and said that all of your sons and your daughters were killed. Well, that's some sad news, ain't it? But the Scripture says in verse 21 that here's Job's outlook. He said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know, it takes something to say that. I don't think that everybody in the world can say that. There's some false peace and false security that folks can hold on to, and sometimes they can make it through some adverse circumstances without trusting upon God. But I tell you what, it's really the child of God that really shines forth. When he takes and trusts the Lord through the circumstances and the trials and the valleys and the temptations of this life, and he comes up like the servant Job, and he says, you know, the Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to say, first of all, the right outlook is that he looked up. The right outlook is an uplook. He looked up, you see. You see, most people, they don't look up, they look down. When troubles come and things happen in our lives, we drop our head and we're down and our countenance falls and we're hurt. And you say, well, yes, of course we're going to be hurt. And yes, you see that Job was, as we read through here, he was. But yet, the first thing he realized was that he had to look up to God, because God's the one that gave him everything he had to start with. God's the one that had blessed him thus far. God's the one that had took care of everything and brought him this far. And so he said, well, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible tells us of the psalmist that he did the same thing when he encourages us in Psalms 121 to say, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. David said, I'm going to look up and not look down. I'm going to look up to God that's able to take care of this situation. I'm going to have the right outlook, because I know the right outlook is an uplook. So many times the world and so many times the Christians get like this. Our Sunday school lesson is right in line with this too. I never realized that as much until went through the Bible school lesson this morning. And I was thinking, you know, all the children of Israel, they were just regular Baptists, I reckon, you know. They murmured and they complained and they grumbled and they griped, but God had took care of them. God had blessed them. God had given them water. God had given them food, and they even complained about the food they was getting, and God gave them some more food. God said, well, I'm going to change the buffet now, and they're going to take care of you. And God took care of them all the way. But nevertheless, I mean, if you think about it, what they were doing really is what opposite of what Job was doing when they was murmuring and complaining. They were looking down. They forgot to look up for who was bringing the blessings from heaven. They forgot to look up that God was giving them what they needed. Thanks be to God, Job had the right outlook. He looked up to God. In fact, and this verse is in the next week's Sunday school lesson, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Not that we're always faithful, but he said God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What's the use to look down if God promises us that? What's the use for us to always hang our head and murmur and complain when God promises there's nothing that's going to be put on you that's going to be something you're not going to be able to make it through? Only God's people's got that promise. Amen. I mean, Job, you say, well, that's before Paul ever wrote that down. Well, I believe it was in his heart, though. I mean, it was in his heart that he knew that whatever he was going to face, that God would be there with him, that God would take care of it, that God would help him and bear him through whatever he was going to face and whatever he was going to go through. You've heard the story many times about the footprints of the sand and how the man had the dream about the footprints, and it was really just looking over his life and different scenes of his life. And there was times though that he looked at it, instead of two sets of footprints, there's only one. And it was that time he got discouraged and he began to look at it and think about it. And it was actually at those times that he was going through some hard things in his life. And he said, why did you leave me, Lord, when I was going through all of that? He said, wait a minute, you misunderstood. What happened? That's my set of footprints. Amen. What happened through the rough times is God said, I picked you up and I carried you through it. And I took you through whatever you was going through. Thank God God's able to do that. Oh, we ought to have the right outlook. The right outlook, first of all, is an uplook. It's to look up to the Lord instead of look down at our circumstances. Job wasn't as concerned about looking down at his circumstances. Now others brought that to light, and he began to think about it, and he began to be just as human as every one of us are. The Bible tells us in Job chapter 3 and verse 11, he said, "Why did I come out from my mother's womb?" He said in the latter part of verse 13, he said, "I should have slept. Then had I not been at rest." He said, "It'd been over with, you know, if I was already gone to heaven." But I guess you could say that's an uplook too, you know. You know, somebody wrote the song not long ago, "I'm a winner either way." You know, we go through sickness and trials and things, and sometimes it's a sickness unto death, but that's a winner because we're in heaven, praise God. We're enjoying the blessings of God. God's able to touch and to heal. But then in chapter 7 and verse 11, the Bible tells us in the latter part of that verse, he said, "I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." He began to be discouraged like all of us do. He said down in chapter 10 and verse 15, I'm not going to try to preach the whole book, but I'm going to cover some verses through here. He said, "There, I am full of confusion." But you know what? I think he kept going back to the first statement he made. "Naked come out of my mother's womb, and naked shall return thither. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord have given, Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Scripture says in chapter 13, he said there in verse 13, latter part, he says, "Hold your peace, let me alone that I may speak." These people begin to talk to him, but he said, "Let come on me what will." If this is the will of God, if this is God's plan, let come on me what will. That's a strong statement. In fact, he says in verse 13, this is even stronger. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." He said, "Nothing will change my trust in the Lord. Nothing will change my faith in the Lord. Circumstances might get hard, and they're going to get harder, and they'll get darker, and the valleys may get longer, but he said, I'm going to still trust God. I'm still going to believe God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." It just keeps getting gooder and gooder. The Bible tells us over in chapter 14 of the book of Job, and he begins this chapter, no doubt, with a lot of discouragement. Man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, he says. But he goes on to say in verse 7, "For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down." I made reference to this recently in one of the messages, that it will sprout again, and the tender branch thereof will not cease, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground. He said, through the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Notice he said there, hey, there's hope even of a tree that's completely cut down. He said, everything may be lost in my life. I may look around and from being the richest man in the East, I'm looking around now that I don't have nothing. I don't have any of my servants. I don't have any of my animals. I don't have even my children. I don't have anything. I don't know. There's not a mention of a turkey throughout the book of Job, but the old saying is, you know, when he was in this situation, he wasn't rich anymore, he was poor. And somebody said, when they're poor as Job's turkey. You heard that saying before, ain't you? But I mean, he was the richest man of the East, but now he's lost everything that he had. But yet, he's kept looking up to God. He kept looking up to the Lord, from whence comes our help and our direction that should come. Verse 14 of chapter 14 says, "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." He said, God, I mean, there's some hope in the Lord. There's some trust that we can have in the Lord. There's a brighter and a better day coming. You say, well, I ain't seeing it right now. I ain't seeing it right around the corner. But Job said, hey, one of these days, my change is going to come. No matter what, if I don't see a brighter day on this earth, I know there's a brighter day coming in heaven. Amen. There's a brighter day coming on the other side. In fact, it's just like one continual day. When we get to heaven, it's just one bright, wonderful day with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praising the Lord. Yeah, like we was talking about Wednesday night and that Ezekiel, fishing all the time and praising the Lord and enjoying the blessings of God and the river of life a-flowing. Hey, what a blessing. Job was trying to say, hey, I've got something to look forward to. I've got something around the corner. Why should I be discouraged and in despair in just a few days of trouble in this life? That's all we're going to have is a few days. And then the Lord's going to call us home. We're going to be raptured out of here. We've got much to look up to. Chapter 16 and verse 19, he said, and now behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. Hey, he said, listen, the right outlook for us to have is to realize, hey, it doesn't matter how much we argue about this. It doesn't matter how much we talk about this. These three guys are talking to him and telling him, it's sin that you're in, Job. It's a transgression. It's this and that and the other. But he said, wait a minute. Let me keep looking up to the Lord. My record's on high. Let me keep looking up to the Lord. Everything's settled. Praise God. The old account was settled one day in heaven. Not only do we see the right outlook as an uplook, but second of all, let me say the right outlook. And if you look over in chapter 19, verse 25, I believe he continued to have the right outlook here. The Bible says in verse 25 of chapter 19, he said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Not only did he look up, but he looked ahead. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know that there's a brighter, better day, like I already said, that's coming in heaven. Not only did he look up to the Lord, but he looked ahead for the promises of God. Abraham was told as he began to journey and looking for a city, the Bible says, whose builder and maker was God. He wasn't to look down and around at all the circumstances and look at his present position. I mean, how in the world? I mean, who would think that God would take and call a man of 75 years old to be a father of nations? You know, I mean, we'd just give up on that thought, wouldn't we? But Abraham was encouraged, and we're encouraged to always look ahead. You see, what's the opposite of that? I told you a while ago, folks are looking down. They're not looking up. What's the problem there? Sometimes, instead of looking ahead, we're looking behind us. Instead of looking ahead, we're looking at the past instead of looking at the future. Job wasn't doing that in this day. I mean, he began to realize, my Redeemer liveth, and I'll stand with him on the latter day upon this earth. I've got a lot to look forward to. In fact, he's looking way down the road, ain't he? He's looking on past heaven and the blessings of heaven and paradise with God before that and heaven, and then coming back to rule and to reign with him on this earth. He's looking way ahead at the goodness and the blessings of God instead of looking back. Looking behind, somebody said, strength doesn't come from winning. Your struggles develop your strength. When you go through hardship and decide not to surrender. Job didn't want to quit. He wanted to look up. Job didn't want to give up. He wanted to look up. Job didn't want to look back. He wanted to look ahead. He didn't want to look at the past, but he wanted to look at the future. Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, said, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. And he said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried in a fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We're all going to go through troubles. We're all going to go through trials. We go through valleys. We go through hard times. We go through circumstances. And if we're going through that, the only thing we're doing is looking back and not looking ahead, or looking down and not looking up. We don't have the right outlook. Job had the right outlook. He said, boy, there's a lot more to look forward to. There's a lot more I got on the other side than what I've got down here. I mean, it may have crossed his mind, his heart, to realize Yes, his children are gone, but truly, if they knew God and served God, he made sacrifices for them. I don't know each individual circumstance, but maybe he could look forward to praise God, them seeing them in heaven one of these days. They were enjoying the blessings of God. Did not David do the same thing? God began to turn the judgment wheels upon him. He began to weep and pray before God. Really, he was praying that God would hold back his judgment at that time, but he said that that son would die. And after he died, he went ahead and just wiped his tears and wiped his face, and he come out, and they couldn't understand it, but he said, hey, listen, he can't come to me, but I'm going to go to him. I'm going to see him one of these days. I don't have to worry about him. He's already in heaven. I don't have nothing to worry about there. He looked ahead. Even though there was troubles in the past, even though there was sin in the past that he had to account for, and that he had to go through some hardship in this life because of, still, he wanted to look ahead to the things of God and the blessings of God. Old Joseph did the same thing. I'm reminded of the story of Joseph. Man, I mean, I tell you, when I started reading that, I was reading through that in daily devotion in Genesis, but you know, as you begin to start reading the Joseph, you don't want to stop. Amen. That's one place in the Bible, man. You start reading some of the chapters, some of the story about Joseph, you want to just read it all. Just a beautiful story. It's a beautiful picture of the Lord, really. When he first revealed himself to his brothers, after, of course, they had left him in the pit, they had left him for dead, and he went from the pit to the palace and into the prison, but then he became Lord over all Egypt. And then, but anyhow, when he revealed himself to his brothers, you remember he told them, you know, you meant it for evil, but God has taken it and turned it around for good, and God is blessed, and God has used me in a great way here. And in fact, that was said again. I didn't notice that until reading through it again, but after Israel died, the last chapter in the book of Genesis, he died in the latter part of chapter 49, I believe it is. But anyhow, in chapter 50, his brothers said, wait a minute, our dad's dead. We need to remind Joseph, you know, where he won't be mad and kill us now. Again, they were worried about their brother that they had done wrong. And they came to him. In fact, they lied to him, and they said, here's some things that Daddy said, you know. Make sure you remember your brother and don't harm him or anything. They really lied to him. But this is what, listen to what Joseph said. I pulled this out and printed this out. It said in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 19, Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. He said, oh, don't worry about it. Ain't that something? I mean, Joseph had the power and the ability to do something harsh back to his brothers, but he said, no, don't worry about what you did, because it was all in the plan of God. God is using it now for his good and for his blessing. Like old Job, hey, don't look back. Let's look ahead. Job chapter 23 and in verse 10, the Bible says, he said, but he knoweth the way that I take. I'm at the Lord. He said, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, when he's finished, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, he wasn't worried about all of the troubles, and I'm sure he was at times, but what I'm saying is, for the most part, he kept coming back to the thought to realize, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what lies ahead, I know that there are some better days ahead. There are some brighter days ahead. They might not be tomorrow, and they might not be the next day or the next week, but there are some brighter days ahead. And that's the same way with a child of God, isn't it? Is it not? Let me correct that. Isn't it? I don't know how you spell that. But there are some brighter days for us, aren't there? I mean, it may not be this week, next month, this year. I don't know. But I tell you, there's some brighter days in heaven, amen. I know there are. Amen. We'll have a hallelujah meeting up there, amen. Let me give you another quote. Lou Holtz said this. He said, adversity is another way to measure the greatness of individuals. I've never had a crisis that didn't make me stronger. Last of all, let me give you this thought. Job had the right outlook because he looked up, he looked ahead. And then last of all, in chapter 42, I want to say that Job looked inside. Chapter 42 and verse 5, the Bible says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Talking about God. God began to speak to him for three chapters there, and he said, I have heard thee, but now I see thee. And he said in verse 6, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Reminds me of Isaiah, where the Bible tells us that he's seen the Lord high and lifted up, and when he seen the Lord, Brother Tom, he began to look inside to himself. And he began to realize, you know, first thing he said was, I'm a man of unclean lips. He said, woe is me. The first thing he said is, woe is me. He realized when he got a good picture of the Lord, and he got a good glimpse of the Lord, what direction he needed to go in. The Bible tells us if we've failed him, there's a promise in the Word of God. There's many promises in the Word of God, but I like 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess our sins. We get some things right. The Lord's able to cleanse us and take care of the need in our life. Job said, I'm not, you know, you say, what's the opposite of that, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. Instead of looking inside, what we do a lot of times, we look outside. We look to others, we look to circumstances, we look to other things, other people. We ought to be like the song says, it's not my brother or my sister, oh Lord, it's me that stands in need of prayer. Hey, the Scripture tells me, look inside. He said, I abhor myself. I look at myself. I'm repenting, praise God, in dust and ashes. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3, it tells a story of how that they said, why behold the mote in thy brother's eye and consider not the beam in thine own eye? A beam is something, a piece of wood very large, and a mote would be a very small piece. I don't know if you want to use some illustrations here. Maybe you could talk about a toothpick and a two before. Okay? The mote's like the toothpick, and the beam's like the two before. He said, how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye. He said, you know, how are you going to say, I'm going to take out the toothpick out of your eye, but I got a two before. He said, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Well, Job had that right look. He had that right outlook. He looked up instead of looking down. He looked ahead instead of looking behind. And he looked inside instead of looking outside. We can always see some things wrong with others, and maybe quicker than we can with ourselves. I don't know. Reminds me of the story of the lady that kept talking about her neighbor's laundry. Said, my goodness, I don't understand that woman, what she's doing. She keeps putting that laundry out there on the clothesline. That's what folks used to do, okay? Relate to some of these young people. Instead of the dryers, the old clothesline. Put them, looked up at the neighbor's house, said, I keep seeing those dirty clothes out there on the line. I just can't understand that. Spring cleaning came. She finally cleaned up some different things she hadn't cleaned up for a while. One was her kitchen windows. And the next day she looked and she noticed that the clothes out there wasn't dirty after all. It was actually her windows that was dirty. So she was looking through dirty windows and seeing dirty clothes at her neighbor's house. Bible tells us in Job chapter 27, he began to come around to this thought, I believe, in Job 27 and verse 3. Bible says, all the while my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. He began to look on the inside. The Lord answered Job. If you look beginning in chapter 38, the Lord began to answer Job. That's what the Bible says. Boy, it's the best voice he heard from, ain't it? That was better than his three counselors. And in chapter 38, the Bible says the Lord began to answer Job out of the whirlwind. And he began to speak to him and talk to him. And he talked to him of the greatness and the goodness of God and the great creations of God and the great things that God had done. And really, Job answers back in chapter 40. Also, chapter 40 and verse 4, he said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth." You know what he said? He said, "I'm just going to shut my mouth." That's what the scripture says there in Romans, doesn't it? It said that that our mouths may be stopped. And it talks about when we begin to see the downward course of mankind, we begin to see sin, begin to see that there is none good, no, not one, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then you know what happened in the end, praise God. He took the right outlook, I think, all the way. He looked up instead of looking down. He looked ahead instead of looking behind. He looked inside instead of looking outside. And God took care of him all the way. In verse 10 of chapter 42, the Bible says, The Lord turned, He changed everything. He turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. He finally, after that point, said, "Now, I'll tell you what, I'm tired of arguing with these guys. I'm just going to pray for them." And he said the Lord gave him twice as much as he had. I guess he had twice as much cattle, twice as much camels. Everything that he lost, he had twice as much. And then also, he had more children, didn't he? Had 10 more children. Somebody said, "Well, he just had 10 more. He didn't have twice as many." Well, I reckon he did, though, if he had 10 in heaven and 10 more down here. Amen. Well, as the musicians come around, Lord knows your heart. Thank God for His goodness. I'm glad God always can give us the right direction. God can always give us the right outlook of things. The right outlook is an uplook. The right outlook is an inward look. The right outlook is a look ahead. Everyone stand, if you would, just obey the Lord. Need to come around and pray. God deal with your heart, whatever the need might be. Might be somebody here that's lost or somebody's backslidden on the Lord. Why don't you come around and get things right this morning? Just get things done. You need to draw close to God. Be where you need to be. Amen. Just obey the Lord this morning. Thank you.